We have the president of the World Bank on the line from the Economic Summit in Wyoming now. I'm David Brancaccio. Central bankers, economists, and academics from around the world are gathered in Wyoming to share views on this weird economy, the U.S. Weird is in the form of high inflation, contraction, but still lots of hiring amid a labor shortage. In just a few minutes, the chair of the Federal Reserve will begin speaking in a presentation that might yield clues about how long this vigorous hiring will persist and how high his team will have to set interest rates to quash inflation. Now, the president of the World Bank, David Malpass, is at this Jackson Hole Economic Symposium right now, where he's focused on helping to reduce hardship across national boundaries. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, David.
Now, you're mixing with these central bankers from around the world up there beneath those beautiful mountains. What do you hope they understand from your perspective?
Central bankers are an important part of how the world creates supply. And so I hope they will look at their jobs as both the demand side of the economy, but also by creating confidence, they can really help boost the supply side of the economy. Businesses need to look for the long run, and the central banks can give stability and confidence to the long run, and I think they're working to do that.
I mean, is there something, as a practical matter, these officials can do to promote a reduction in the gap between rich and poor?
Central banks are a key part of the global financial system, and it's part of capital allocation. That's true also of governments broadly. And right now, the allocation of capital is going mostly to big governments, the advanced economies, and to big business interests. Central banks often look at the demand side of the economy, but capital flows to businesses, and that holds down prices. And so right now, the central banks are heavily involved in regulatory policy, which picks winners and losers. The big governments are doing that as well, picking winners and losers, and that causes friction within the system. I think also the composition of the assets of the central banks is important. Do they own, which kinds of bonds do they own? Because when they make those decisions, it is basically picking winners and losers within the economy. Right now, the upper incomes have been winning over and over again for a long time. And I think that puts lots of strain on people in poorer countries.
Now, when Jerome Powell and his team get fierce on inflation, higher interest rates, even if it causes short-term pain at home as the economy cools, this can also stress lower-income countries around the world. I mean, when our rates are comparatively high, international capital can flow in this direction, chasing our higher interest rates, and that can be a burden in a lower-income country.
The advanced economies are doing that, and the central banks are guiding that capital toward governments, oftentimes in the advanced economies. So it's inequality, and I think it's not good policy for the long run. We have to look beyond this and say we need capital to flow to people that can make best use of it, and we also need capital to flow to energy, which is so vital right now, and it's just not happening in size.
Speaking from the Jackson Hole Conference, the big annual summit for central bankers and economists in Wyoming, David Malpass, president of the World Bank, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
With Fed Chair Powell's market-moving speech set to begin shortly, the major stock indexes are in wait-and-see mode. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 10 points. The S&P is down 0.2%. The NASDAQ is down 0.4%. The 10-year interest rate steady now, 3.04%. Now, to understand the economy, it has to be more than views from the top. Today, I have a conversation with an undocumented day laborer who takes on short-term jobs in masonry, but also helps with a project to help other workers in his position stay safe and keep from getting ripped off. He's Pedro. We agreed to withhold his last name. We get his economic view with help from an interpreter.
I feel like homeowners, employers are a little scared about inflation with everything that's happening, and they're not investing in home renovations, repairs, moving, and that affects us because it means we get hired less often.
He told me he noticed the drop in demand starting after the 4th of July. Now, if you miss our extended conversation on the air today, you can stream it from marketplace.org. Investors in the multimedia exercise company Peloton are digesting the company's dramatic quarterly loss, which executives say totaled more than $1.2 billion. It's the latest sign that the maker of fitness equipment, whose exercise bikes were star players in early pandemic, is having trouble finding its way. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports.
Post-lockdown demand for Peloton bikes and treadmills has plummeted. Couple that with recent layoffs and store closures, and Dan Ives at Wedbush says the company's future is looking pretty bleak.
And it just feels like the management team's grasping at straws when it comes to the strategy, and I think their playbook is still confusing.
Part of Peloton's turnaround strategy has rested on selling subscriptions, which are up year over year. But the company added just 4,000 subscribers in the last quarter. NYU business professor Annette Lechner, a longtime Peloton aficionado herself, says with growth anemic, it might be time to consider a different approach.
I think they need to add more value to the relationship that they have with their current base.
Tapping into the data the company already has on customers like her to personalize the experience. For now, Peloton is trying to expand its customer pool, most recently with a deal to sell its wares on Amazon. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Stock in Peloton Interactive fell 18% yesterday, and it's down another 5% right now. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.